Hey, we are holding uncooked tests on the bays, 5 lines from the bottom. Today, actually, we're going to, even though we're still in Masechta Bava Kamma and nominally talking about Nezikin and specifically Gzelus, today's Gemara is actually going to be more Seder Kodshin type stuff. Rabbanan.
Right.
So, the Gemara starts off. Tana Rabbanan. Now, we learned yesterday in connection with the whole question about Gezel Ager, let's suppose a Kohen has Gezel Ager in his own possession already. He stole it from the Ger. He swore falsely. The Ger died. He can't say that given it's going to end up going to the Kohen with my Mishmo, then I may as well keep it. It has to be taken and given out to the whole Mishmo. And in that connection, we mentioned the concept that a Kohen is able to bring his own Korbanos even if it's not his Mishmo's turn. Usually the idea is, you have the Kohanim are divided into 24 Mishmaris. Each one served in the Beis Mikdash 1 week, and then they rotated over, except Yom Tovim, all of them were there equally. Ordinarily, then, a Kohen of, if it's, for example, we'll have the names soon, for example, Yehoyariv is the first Mishmar, Yedaiah is the second one. If it's Yehoyariv's week, a Kohen from Yedaiah, then you can't have a Kohen from Yedaiah come and bring a Korban for you. But if the Kohen from Yedaiah or some other Mishmar himself has his own Korban to bring, he can come any week he wants. Regardless what Mishmar it is, he can come and bring that Korban.
Not on behalf of somebody
else, right? So, turn it up on him. Minayim the Kohen Shabbat Makar Korbanosiv of Cholosiv Choshar Sheyutze. How do we know that a Kohen can come and bring his Korban? And Rashi points out, we're talking about regardless whether it's a voluntary Korban, like a Shlomim or what have you, or regardless of whether it's a Korban that he's Mechuyev, like a Chatas or an Asham. So even he himself did the Aveira, for example, he can bring his own chatas
every time he wants.
And any time he wants. Therefore the pasuk says, the whole pasuk goes, if a Levi comes from one of your cities throughout the Eretz Yisrael where he lives, then he can come whenever his heart desires, v'sheiris, and he can serve in the Beis Hamikdash. So obviously, Rashi points out on the pasuk, when even though it starts off with Chiyav HaLevi, doesn't mean a Levi per se, because a Levi doesn't serve in the Mishnah, such a Kohen does. Therefore, it must be talking about a Kohen. And we learned back in Yevamos that there's a couple of dozen places in Tanakh where the Kohen are called Levi, and this is one of them.
B'chol Avas Nafshei,
he can come whenever he wants, v'sheiris, and he can serve.
And therefore, he cannot be a Levi.
That's the point. That's how we know that it can't be a Levi. Uminayin Shabbat of Oda Shalai, how do we know furthermore that the Avoda and the skin of the animal belong to him? Now, what do we mean by the Avoda? We just said he brings the carbon. So Rashi explains that the Avoda here means the reward for the Avoda, namely to be able to eat the meat. So that Rashi is learning, in other words, that a Kohen brings the carbon and his reward for it is he's given the meat of it to eat. The Rashba talks about it differently. Not so obvious. Why would the Torah says that he gets the carbon to eat, but not necessarily as a reward for his Avoda per se. So the Rashba, in fact, disagrees with Rashi and says that Avodasa does mean the meat, but for a different reason. Eating the meat is part of the Avoda of the Korban in the sense that we've learned before, Korinim Ochlun Bailam Miskafrim, that the full kapara of the owner is accomplished by the Korin eating it. So therefore, that can be considered part of the Avoda. Anyway, so how do we know that Avoda, in the sense of being able to eat the meat, and the skin of the Korban, any kodshin that are brought as a Korban, the skin goes to the Kohanim. Usually, again, it would go to the Kohanim of the Mishmar that are on duty, or specifically the base of that's on duty that day. Here, he himself gets to keep the skin. So how do we know that? Therefore, the pasuk says, each person's kodshim should be his. Okay, Sad. So what does this mean? Employ a balmum. Now, suppose that he is a balmum. Now,
that goes for
this case, where a Kohen from a different Mishmar, but it means also the Kohen.
How do we know that?
Because it's his kodshin, because it's his carbon, which he is bringing, therefore he is entitled to...
When he brings it out personally.
Right. Okay, so now how does this work? Imhoya balmum. So how does it work if he's a balmum? Now, balmum is able to eat carbonus, but he's not able to bring the carbonus. So then it's different.
A coin balmum.
So the point is like this, that we're going to be talking about as we go through the sugya. If the coin himself is able to bring the carbon, then equally well, he can appoint a shliach. He can appoint another Kohen to do it on his behalf. So again, we're talking, it's in the week of Yehoyarib. A Kohen from Yedaiah has a Korban of his own to bring. If he wants, he can bring it himself. Or if he wants, he can have another Kohen from that, from his Mishma, from different Mishma, whatever, bring the Korban on his behalf. However, if he's a Balmum,
he doesn't have to be sending a shiach from the mishmar.
From the mishmar that's on duty, right.
He doesn't have to.
Since he himself, who is from a different mishmar, is entitled to bring the korban on his own, he's also entitled to appoint a shliach from another, from his mishmar or another mishmar. We're going to talk about soon the whole matter of shlichos. So we'll get into it soon. On the other hand, if he's a balmum, and a balmum is not able to bring korbanos, he's only allowed to eat them. So therefore, he cannot make a shliach for this. Therefore, nois nala koyin shabaisa mishmar. Therefore, he has to give the koyin specifically to the mishmar that's on duty. However, vavidasa v'oda shaloi. However, the meat, again, the avoda, meaning the eating of the meat, and the skin of it does go to him. Because after all, he may be a balmum, but he's able to eat korbanos. And since he's able to eat, then he also gets the skin, because he is the owner of the korban, after all.
Able to eat. How can he not be able to nominate a shliach?
Ah, so that's what we're going to get to soon. We'll get to that point soon. Having said that, by the way, Rashi brings another girsa, which is that Rashi brings another girsa, and the Rambam passes according to that girsa as well, that no, in this case, avodasa v'oda la'anshei mishmar, that no, in that case, since it's the members of the mishmar on duty that have to bring the korban because he's a bald woman, he can't, therefore they also are the ones who get to eat it, and they're the ones who get the skin. Okay. Continues the bright. So v'imhoya zoken echola, what if this koyin was old or sick?
Not a balmum.
If he's old or sick, at this point the Gemara is assuming that even though he's old or even though he's sick, he is capable of doing the avoda. He may not be feeling up to it, but he would be capable of doing it. We're going to take up that point soon. So then again, he can give it to any koyin he wants. He can appoint a shliach of any mishmar to do it. Because again, since he himself is capable of doing this avoda, then he is capable of appointing a shliach for it. But still, since he can't eat, why he can't eat, we'll talk about soon. Then the meat of it and the skin goes to the anshe mishmar who are on duty and they're the ones who are able to eat.
So
the older sick, and therefore we're assuming that he can't eat. Well, that's the question.
And the balmum can?
A balmum is capable of eating, and the Torah allows him to eat, but he can't bring the korban. Zokin ochola, we're assuming at this point the other way around. He's able at this point. We're assuming. Well, that's what the Gemara is going to ask. What's the situation? Is he able to do the korban, and is he able to eat? So the Marsha points out, the point of the Gemara's question is going to be, you assume that one goes hand in hand with the other. If he's capable of bringing the korban, even though he's old, he's capable of eating it. And if he's not capable of eating it, he's not capable of bringing it. So what exactly is the case with this old or sick koyin? If he's able to do the avodah, then the meat of it and the skin should also be his. What do we mean by his, by the way? There's a machlokas between the Ramban and the Raivag, whether his would mean the owner of the korban or whether it would go to the koyin that he nominated to bring the korban on his behalf. Whatever. The idolein motzi avodah, and if he's not capable of doing the avodah, shliach heichem eshavin, and how can he make a shliach? Just like we said before, by the balmum, that he can't make a shliach, he has to give it to the anshe mishmar. So by the way, there's two approaches in the Mefarshim what this business is. One way of looking at it is it's a regular case of shlichos. We learned in Kiddushin, we learned here and there, and then when we had sugyas about shlichos, that if there's something you are not able to do yourself, you can't appoint a shliach for it either. So that would be the logic. Therefore, if this koyin balmum can't do the avodah himself, therefore he can't appoint a shliach. If he's too old or sick to do the avodah, then he can't appoint a shliach. So that's one way of looking at it. On the other hand, there are... that's what the Gemara is asking. If he's too old to do the avodah, or too sick to do the avodah, yeah, he's not capable of doing it, then he shouldn't be able to appoint a shliach. So one way of looking at it is it's a matter of regular shlichos. The other way of looking at it is not necessarily, because, I mean, after all, what about a regular Yisrael? A Yisrael can't bring a korban, and yet he's able to nominate a koyin to do the avodah for him, because as we learned back in the Dorim, the koyinim are shluchim of the Eibishter, they're not our shluchim. Fundamentally,
no, but Israel can eat the korban. He's capable.
No, but not if it's a kachim. He can't. If it's a chatas or an asham.
Not because he's health. I mean.
No, that's not the point. The point is he's not allowed to. Only do is a koyin balmum is perfectly capable of bringing a korban. He's just not allowed to.
Right.
So anyway, because of that and because of some other considerations, there are the Nodeb Yehuda and some other acharonim talk about it. It's not really a question of shlichos. It's rather like this. Gzeres HaKosev was that there's supposed to be this concept of mishmaris. Each mishmar has their week, and nobody else is allowed to horn in on them. Gzeres HaKosev is that there's an exception for if a koyin himself is going to bring a korban. So if the Kohen himself is able to bring the korban, then he can do it himself, or he can appoint a shliach for it. Because either way, the mishmar has no rights over that korban, given that he is capable of doing it himself. Mashenkin, if he himself is not capable of doing it, of bringing the korban or of eating it, as the case may be, then it reverts back to the mishmar. He no longer, and therefore that he no longer has the right that the pasuk would have given him under other circumstances to be able to bring the korban himself or to be able to appoint a shliach. Therefore, it reverts back to the mishmar, and he has no say in the matter.
Okay. What happens then if you can also?
So that's it. Then that's what they were saying. That the Anshin Mishmar. So that's what we said. We said a Baal Mum has to have somebody from the Anshin Mishmar bring the korban. So he can't send a shliach. He has to have somebody from the Mishmar on duty do it.
The Baal Mum. Right.
So we said we have the two gear sites, whether he gets to eat the meat or whether the Anshin Mishmar gets to eat the meat. Then we said a Zok and a Chola. We said that he can appoint a shliach, but the meat of it goes, the meat and the skin goes to the Anshin Mishmar. So that's the question. Why is it, what's the situation with the Zok and Ochoyla that we're saying? Rav Papa says the answer is that both things, the bringing the korban and the eating it, he would be capable of doing it, but with difficulty. Therefore, well, meaning in other words, it wouldn't come easily to him, but he could pull himself together. He could pull together enough of his strength to be able to do it. So therefore, when it comes to the avoda, if he's able to do it, ideat chak, fine, that's a valid avoda. Tosfos points out a zakin is really only possible if he's so old that his hands shake. So if he's not quite that old, if he's not at the point of his hands shaking yet, then he may not be feeling up to doing the korban under normal circumstances. But if it really came to that, if there was no choice, if there was nobody else available, he'd be able to pull himself together and do it. Therefore, that's valid avoda. And therefore, he can make a shliach for it. Whereas when it comes to eating, if he were to eat it, it would be achila al-dead chak. It would be called achila gasa. It would be called overeating. Meaning, Rashi says achila gasa here means shenakshe kotzeba. He'd be nauseated by it. Now, Tosfos points out that there's actually two different kinds of achila gasa in different places in Shas. There's achila gasa where you're feeling full, but not yet. But you can still you're feeling full. You're going to eat. You'll be overeating a little bit. It's not the right way. For example, the Gemara mentioned in Nazir, it's not the right way to eat Masa, let's say, but you're still yotze. And then versus achila gasa, which is not considered eating at all. You'd be potter for it on Yom Kippur, for example, which is the kind where you're so full that the sight of any more food would nauseate you. That's what we're talking about. Because the pasuk says, "Ta'amu es nafshecheichem." You should afflict yourself by not eating. If you're so full that trying to eat any more food would make you nauseous, nafshe kotzeba, like Rashi says, that's what we're talking about. That's the achila gasa we're talking about over here. So that can't be considered eating. But achila gasa lav kumu. Achila gasa is not a valid eating. So you can't say that he's capable of eating the carbon. So that's the difference. Both things he can do, idea. That's the difference. Both things can be done ideat chak, but avoid ideat chak is fine. Achila ideat chak is not fine.
So what, you have to enjoy the achila?
It has to be, what you're supposed to eat the korban al hasoiva. It's supposed to be that when you eat, the proper way to eat a korban is you're almost full, and then you eat the korban and that fills you up. That's why by the korban Pesach you usually bring a chagiga with it, and in general when the kohenim ate the korbanos they would eat chulin beforehand. So that's supposed to be the idea of it. But in this case, it's achila.
The is just a master because otherwise.
Okay. Yeah. How do we get to eat so much? No, nafshe kotzeba just means that he's nauseated by eating. Okay, an old person would have to eat less in order to get to that point. Therefore, mishum hachi avidasav odal anshe mishmar, and that is why in this case the meat and the meat and the skin of the korban go to the anshe mishmar. So it's not a contradiction. The Baal Mum is not capable of bringing the korban at all because the Torah bans him from bringing korbanos, but he's perfectly able to eat. So therefore, he has somebody else bring the korban for him, but according to the first girsa that we have here in the Gemara, he himself can eat the meat. And the zakin ochoila, again, because he's doing an ideat chak, he himself is able to do, would be able to do the avoda. Therefore, he's entitled to appoint a shliach to do it instead of him. But as far as the eating, since he's not capable of doing it except as achila gasa, then he has to give the meat to the Anshin Mishmar and the skin.
And he's here to
it. What? Yeah, he's here to the korban, yeah. I mean, if the korban doesn't end up getting eaten, you also go to it, so the kapara hasn't been fully completed, but like this, yeah. Omen of Sheshis. Im hoya koyim tome, the korban sibu. Now let's take another scenario. suppose that the Kohen in the current Mishmer, the one that's on duty, is Tomei, and there's a Korban Sivur to bring. So the Tosfos Reed talks about, for example, that we could have the scenario, let's say this particular Kohen won the pious. We learned back in Yuma that there were the daily lotteries, the daily counting of fingers to determine who gets which avoda. So now you have one of the Kohenim who won and happens to be Tomei, and it's Korban Sivur, which you're able to bring Betuma. So since he is capable of bringing it himself, because Tuma is Dechuya B'tzibur, Noisna L'chol Misha Yutza, so then instead he can give it to any Kohen he wants. Same idea, in other words, because since he would be capable of doing it, he's capable of appointing a Shliach. V'avidosav Odol Anshe Mishmer, and the meat and the skin of it go to the Anshe Mishmer because he's Tomei. Okay, so therefore the question is, Hechidomi, what's the scenario over here? Idi Ika Tehorim, if there were other Koyanim from that same Mishmer who are Tar, Tmeim Mimatsu Abi, then B'chol, Koyanim Tomei is not capable of doing the Avodah. Okay, so he won the Pious, let's say. Big deal. Pious doesn't override the fact that by preference you have Tehorim do it. Tosis points out, by the way, we've learned in a number of places in Shas, you have the whole issue of whether Tumah is Dechuya or Hutra, but Tzibur. Is it that really, it should be done b'tara, but if you don't have a choice, you do it b'tumah. That's d'chuya. Versus hutra would mean once when it comes to a korban simmer, being tumah are both equal. It's hutra. It's completely mutar.
And we say chuya.
The halacha is chuya, but the Tosis points out in particular, we're talking here according to Rav Sheshis. Rav Sheshis himself is the one who holds d'chuya b'tzibur. That's why the question. If it was any other Amorah who was saying over here, we wouldn't have the question, because he might well hold Tumah Hutzer b'tzibur, and so what? A Kohen Tomei is just as able to bring a Korban Sibur as a Kohen Tar. But here, according to Rav Sheshis, d'chuya, yeah.
Isn't it better d'chuya than Hutzer?
Well, even better, it's just two different ways of understanding what's halakha.
Dechuya
means that it's pushed off. Means ideally you should do it ideally you should do it b'tara. You don't have a choice, you do it b'tumah.
Right.
Kutra means that it's allowed l'chatchila to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's present, but it's allowed rather than it's pushed away.
Okay, it means that since you have a Korban Sibur, a Kohen Tomei and a Kohen Torah are equally well able to bring it. Okay, anyway, but here we're saying dechuya. So if there are Koyanim who are Tahor, then the Tmeyim can't do the Avodah. The Deleka Tahorim, and if there's no Tahorim available, what do you mean Avodah of Odol Anshe Mishmer? What do you mean the meat and the skin of it goes to the Anshe Mishmer? HaTmeyim, Ninu V'loi Matzu Achli. They're Doch Tomei, they can't eat the Korban. Even if the Korban is brought for Tumah, you're not allowed to eat it. We learned back in Sachin that the Korban Pesach was an exception. But
that's
what we're saying. So how is Rav Sheshis saying that on the one hand, this Kohen Tomei can give the Korban to whoever he wants to bring, regardless of what Mishmer? But on the other hand, the skin of it is going to go to the members of the Mishmer. How is this Kohen from this Mishmer that's on duty, how is he in the running for bringing the Korban anyway? Or if he is, then the Korban's not being eaten. Right. What Rav Sheshis means to say is you give it to the Bali Mumin who are Tohar in that Mishmer. Because, again, the Bali Mum are able to eat from the Korbanus. They get portions from the Korbanus. So, therefore, yes, if you have the entire Mishmer is Tomei, or if all the Kohenim who could serve in the Mishmer, all the ones who are not Bali Mumin, are Tomei, then one or another of them is able to bring the Korban because they're Tomei. We don't require them to go find the Kohen from another Mishmer. However, when it comes to eating the korban, since it has to be eaten since it should be eaten and it can't be eaten by the tmeim, then you give it to the Bali Mum to hold him from that mishmer. That's how it is. That's how it is.
That's assuming they're all tmeim.
That's assuming that the entire. It's assuming like this: of the entire mishmer, you have all of them are either tmei or Bali Mum. The ones who are Tomei are not Bali Mumim. The ones who are Bali Mumim are not Tomei, let's say. So therefore, the ones who are Tomei bring the Korban, because the Bali Mumim can never bring the Korban, there's no exception to that, whereas Tumah is at least the Chuyah B'tzibur. Whereas the Bali Mumim are the ones who are going to eat the Korban. Okay, Tosfos asked the question why in that case are they the ones who get the skin? Okay, Tosfos leaves it as a question. Different Achronim talk about possibilities that the skin and the meat go together. That whoever is able to eat the meat is able to get the skin. Okay. Amar Abashi, im hoya kohen gadol oinin. Here's another scenario. Suppose the kohen gadol is an oinin. So a close relative of his died that day and hasn't been buried yet. Now, a regular kohen would not be allowed to bring korbanos at that time. If he does, then if he does, I think we learned it about it in Kedushin, then a regular Kohen, who's an Oinim, is not allowed to bring Korbanos, and in fact, if he does, then there's Avodos and the Chulelos, the Korban is possible, yeah. Whereas the Kohen Gadol was not. The Kohen Gadol was allowed to bring Korbanos Oinim. That was a famous discussion between Aaron and Moshe and Parshas Shmini, that the Moshe is a, why was the Sor of Rosh Chodesh burnt? And Aaron explains to him, if my sons had brought it, then it would be possible. I myself brought it. I'm a Kohen Gadol. I'm allowed to. However, even as an Onan, I'm not allowed to eat Korbanos.
Can you say you're an Onan when your sons died?
It's the same thing. An Onan is for any of the seven relatives that are mentioned in the Torah.
Any of the seven relatives.
Yeah.
It's just the parents.
Yeah. So a Kohen Gadol, therefore, is able to bring Korbanos when he's an Onan, but he's not allowed to eat them. So therefore, now if the Kohen Gadol is an Onan, again, he is capable of bringing the Korban, but therefore he can appoint a Shliach. So again, he can give it to any Kohen that he wants to, because again, he's capable of doing it, so therefore he has the same dispensation as a regular Kohen who's Tomei, let's say. But the meat and the skin of it go to the members of the Mishmer that are on duty. Okay, the question is, my Kamash Malon, what's the Chiddush? And what Ravashi says, Tanena. We learn Befeirush and Abraisa. Kohen Gadol makrav oinen vein oichel, vein cholak lechol erev. Abraisa clearly says, a Kohen Gadol is allowed to bring a korban as an oinen, but he does not eat from the korbanus, and he doesn't even get a portion to eat that evening. Even though midoraisa, aninus, only lasts during that day, even let's say they didn't have a chance to bury the mess that day, he's an oinen that night. Midoraisa, his aninus is over. You would think, therefore, that maybe, fine, you know, set aside a portion for him, and I'll be able to eat it that night. No, you don't do that. So you have a braisa that clearly says that, so what's Ravashi's chiddush? They discuss, by the way, the interesting thing, so what's the question? We don't expect the Amoraim to know all the braisas. Mishnayas, yes. So one answer is that the basics of this are in a Mishnah. The braisa spells it out for us. The other answer is Ravashi is the one who arranged Shas as we have it. You expect him to know all the braisas. Anyway,
therefore
the Gemara can ask on him from any old Braisa, because he's expected to know it. Okay.
Isn't it obvious? I mean, why does the Gemara have to ask that question?
No, well, that's the question. What's the Ravashi
together?
He didn't put the Braisa together, he put the Gemara together. But because of that, one explanation is he's expected to know all the Braisa. All right, let's continue. The answer is, the Chiddush is, you would think that the Torah has Rachmanus on the Kohen Gadol and allows him to be Makriv when he's an Onan, Lekarubi, only as far as bringing the carbon. Abel Shavuya Shliach, as far as making a Shliach, Loi Mati Meshavi, you would think maybe the Torah doesn't give him the dispensation to go so far as to appoint a Shliach, Kamash Malon, and therefore that's Ravashi's Chiddush that he even had that. And that's Ravashi's Chiddush. Mishnah says, Had goes off a ger v'nishvalo, if somebody stole from a ger, robbed from a ger, and then swore falsely to him, umes, and then the ger died, how does Mishan keren v'chomesh l'koinim, and he has to pay the keren and l'chomesh to the koinim, because the ger had, we're talking about obviously the ger, as we talked about yesterday, the ger has no Jewish relatives, this is, he didn't have any children, and his old goyish family is not related to him,
halacha.
It means if somebody stole from a ger. We'll talk about in the Gemara, the usual thing of Gneva versus Gzela. Here we're talking about Gzela. The same kind of thing that we've been talking about the entire Peda. It doesn't necessarily have to be at gunpoint, but it just means we learned back in Merubah that it means that he openly took it from him, right, as opposed to like breaking into his house in the night. Okay, how is Mashal and Keren Rechemish Lekoinim, but Osham on his Beach, and he brings an Osham as a Korban. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Im lo ish goyel, if the person he stole from does not have a redeemer, meaning a close relative, lahashiv ha'asham elav, to return the asham, meaning what he was guilty on, the money that he's guilty about, to return to him, then ha'asham amushav l'ashem l'koyin, then the asham, the money that's returned goes to Hashem, and from Hashem goes to the koyin, milavad elakipurim asher yichapavoy, all of besides for the ram of atonement that will be used to make the kapara on him, which is the asham. This is the asham gzelus that we say every morning in davening." What happens if this person, the Gazlan, is bringing up money and the Osham to Yerushalayim, Umes, and he dies on the way? The money can be given to his children, because the whole point of him giving the money is supposed to be kapara. Once he's dead, ain't kapara la mason is the expression. Mason don't need a kapara. Therefore, the money does not have to be given to the Kohen. That's they need their neshama to be brought up to a higher level in Ganin. But basically, the misa is a kapara. Misa is the ultimate kapara for a person. Way back in Yuma, we learned, you know, shloisha chobot kapara, which is quoted at the beginning of the Geras HaTshuvah, that there's a certain averus that can only be nescapped by the person's death. But that's it. You know, anything beyond that is a person can go through Gehenna, a person can go through many different levels of Gan Eden, but that's already beyond kapara, basically. Okay.
So
the ger himself is dead. There's no the money should have been given to the kohenim, but like this, the person's dead. Ain kapara lemesim. Therefore, the yerushim can keep it. Well, asham, and what's the rule with the asham? The usual rule with an asham that you can't bring for one reason or another. Gira ad shiyistov, you let it pasture until it develops a mum. V'yimacher, then you sell it. V'yipludamim l'nedava, and the money, if it goes into nedava, into one of the six boxes in the mismikdash that were set aside for money for to buy kayitz on his beach, to buy korbanos oila for times when there's no korbanos being brought to keep the kohenim and to keep them as beach.
An asham that you let in a field always starts developing a mum?
No, eventually you hope that it will develop a mum. If it never does, if it dies and still doesn't have a mum, then you bury it. No, then you bury it. It's also about now, but yeah. Okay. Not another din. Nothing a kesef for anshe mishmer a mess. Now, what happens though? You gave the money to the members of the mishmer that are on duty, and then the gazlan died. The Yoshim cannot take that money back from them. They can't argue, well, look, our father's dead now. He doesn't need the kapara anymore. Therefore, the money was given improperly. No. Nope. As the Gemara will say, giving the money to the Kohenim itself accomplishes part of the kapara. Yeah. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'isha sheyitam l'kohen lo yir. Whatever a person gives to the Kohen, that is his, meaning he can't take it back from the Kohenim. Another din. Nothing akesef lo yahayorev v'asham l'idaya. Now, we said before, there's 24 Mishmaris. The first two of them were named Yehoyariv and Yediah. The whole list of all 24 names in Divrei Yom. So, suppose, for example, you gave the money to Yehoyariv. Taking it as an example, they being the first Mishma. And then you gave the Asham to Yediah, which is the next Mishma. We'll talk about in the Gemara tomorrow what exactly the scenario is. Are we talking about you gave them in the same week that you gave to Yediah before they showed up to work in the Beis Mikdash, or does it mean you gave them the Asham a week later? Whatever, we'll talk about the details tomorrow. Yotze, and he's Yotze, because at least he gave the Gezel to the Kohenim first before bringing the Asham. On the other hand, Asham lo Yoyariv, Kesef lo Yediah, but if you gave the Asham to Yoyariv, and gave the money to Yediah, then it depends. In Kayama Asham Yakiru B'nei Yediah, if the Asham is still alive, if it hasn't been brought yet as a korban, then you give it over, the people of Yahyariv, it's taken from them and given to Yediah, to the next Mishmar. As the Gemara will explain, as Rashi explains over here, they canceled Yahyariv because they did wrong. They should know the Asham is not supposed to be taken to bring as a korban before the Zela is returned. Therefore, we take the Asham away from them, which means now they're losing the privilege of eating the meat, of doing the avodah of it, of eating the meat, of getting the skin, and it's given to Yediah.
The next mishma.
The imloy, and if not, if the Asham has already been brought, Yachzir, you have to go back via the Asham Acher, and you have to bring another Asham. Because the rule is Shamedik Zela Achalahevi Ashama Yotza, because the general rule is if you bring back the Gezel to the Kohenim before bringing the Asham, then you're Yotze. Ideally, you're supposed to do it to the same Mishmar, but like this, we're talking about even you did it to different Mishmaris, but you have it, you're Yotze. Hevi Ashama Achalahevi Zela Lo Yotze, but if you bring your Asham before giving the Gezel, then you're not Yotze. It's not so obvious.
How can you be Yotze when you don't bring the Gezel?
You have the Gezel, you gave it to the wrong Mishma or whatever. That's what, again, we're going to talk about the details in the Gemara tomorrow, which Mishma you gave it to, when you gave it to. Nothing as a Keren, nothing as a Chaymish. What happens if you paid the Keren to the Kohenim, but you didn't give the Chaymish? In a Chaymish Ma'akiv. The Chaymish is not Ma'akiv in the sense you can still bring the Asham. Some Arsha and a number of other... but the point is it's not Ma'akiv. Marsha discusses, and a number of other Mephoshim discuss, does that mean that it's not ma'akiv in the sense that you can bring the Asham, but eventually you still do have to bring that Chaymish, and without it, your kapara is not complete? Or maybe you brought the Keren, you brought the Asham, that's it, your kapara is complete. Yes, you're supposed to bring the Chaymish, but even if you didn't bring it, your kapara has been accomplished with the Keren and the Asham.
The
Eibishter will deal with him at that point. But here we're talking about as far as the official rules of Kapara, maybe the Keren and the Asham are enough. Tana Rabbanan. Osham Zakarim. When the Pasuk says that he has to give the Osham to the Kohenim, the Loshana Pasuk was, the word Osham in that Pasuk means the Kerem, and Hamushav Zakhoimish, and the word Hamushav means the extra bit. Osham Zayil, so how do you know? Maybe the word Osham means the actual Korban Osham. So the Gemara interjects, so the Mai Nachamina, so what's the difference? It's just a matter of how you understand the Pasuk. What's the practical difference, what the word Osham means? No, between whether you say Osham means the money, or whether you say that Osham means the Korban Osham, what's the difference? What's the practical difference? The answer is La'pukim Yidurava. Because if you say that the word Osham in this Pasuk means the Korban, then it would tell us not like Rava. Because Rava says that if you return the Gezel Ager, if you give it to the Kohenim at night, you're not Yotzeh. And if you return it piecemeal, if you return it a half at a time, you're not Yotzeh. My time, Osham, Kaviyah Rahmana, because the Pasuk is calling it an Osham. So just like an Osham cannot be brought at night, because no Korban can be brought at night, and just like you can't bring an Osham by halves, you can't bring a Korban by halves, if you did it, would be a Balmum or a Trefer or what have you. So also this, since the Torah is calling it an Osham, then it has to follow the rules of Korbanos. The point is, we only know that because we understand the word Osham in the Pasuk to mean the Keren. If we thought that the word Osham meant the Korban, as we usually the word Osham means the Korban, then we wouldn't know. Rabbis, we wouldn't have a source for Rabbis Din.
Well, Korban, you can mark it at night. So we can give it to them and to cover it the day after.
Fine, but here, the giving it to the Kohenim accomplishes the Kapara. It's the equivalent of shechting and then.
The
korban, you can give it to them. You can give it to them at night to be makir the following morning. Fine, but the difference is when you give it to them, the kapara hasn't accomplished yet. The kapara is only when the blood reaches the mizbeach, and that can only be done by day. When you give the money to them right away, that part of the kapara is accomplished. So therefore, that can be done. The Chazanish talks about various possibilities. What if you gave it to them by night and you were remakne it to them by day? What happens if you gave it to them at night and in the morning still exists? They haven't yet spent it. Are you maybe different possibilities he talks about.
So what do? First you give the money. And
first you give the money to the Kohen and then you bring a carbon. Anyway, continues the Braisa. So Robert's point is you can't bring the money at night yet. When the pasuk continues that you have to give the osham besides for the ram of atonement, heviam, which is the carbon, heviam is the osham, the akaren. So therefore, by elimination, the word osham must mean the karen. We have another braisa. Osham zekaren, hamushav zechoimish. Oy eina ela osham zechoimish. Another braisa says, how do we know? Maybe the word osham refers to the choimish. And again, the Gemara interjects the Mai Nachamina, La Pukim Masnisin. If you were to say that the word Osham means the Chomish, then it would tell us, not like our Mishnah. Zitzanan, where we learned in our Mishnah, nothing like a Keren, nothing like a Chomish, ain't a Chomish Ma'akiv. That if you gave him the Keren and not the Chomish, then the Chomish does not prevent the Kapara from going through. Again, you can still bring the Korban and then bring the Chomish later, as the case may be. Again, if the word Osham meant the Chomish, that wouldn't work. On the contrary, you would say if you said the word Osham and the Pasuk meant the Chomish, it would mean the Chomish is Ma'akiv, because only after Ha'osham, Amushav, Lashem, only then is Milvad Elah Kiporim. Continues the Braisa, but you have a different Pasuk in Vayikra that says he should return his Osham at his head, Vachamishi Soy, and his fifth. Osham is a Keren. So therefore, you know that Osham means the Keren, because then it mentions the fifth separate. Now we have a third Braisa. Osham Zakaren, Hamushav Zechomish, and Uv Gezel Ager Akos Mudaber, and you should know this passage is talking about a Gezel Ager, again, because it says we name the Ish Goyal, and that can only be a Ger. Oy Eina Ela Hamushav Zekefel. So this third braisa says, how do you know? Maybe the word Hamushav is referring to Kefel, Uv Gnevas Ager Akos Mudaber. Maybe the passage is referring to a case where you stole from a Ger, and where you hire Kefel. So again, the Ger is dead, and therefore maybe you have to give the Kefel to the Kohenim. No. But when it says he should return his osham at his head, and then the chomish had a moment amishalim b'roish shakos v'dabah. So the pasuk is referring to the keren roish, meaning the head, the main thing. So therefore, v'heishiv v'chashamay b'roishay means the osham consists of only the head, the actual amount of money. So that can only be the keren. Therefore, no kefil.
Roish means just the
keren. Therefore, chamishisay means the fifth. Some of Hoshim talk about does the Gemara mean to imply that a person did steal from a ger and then the ger died? Does that mean, given that we're saying the kefil doesn't go to the kohenim, what does happen to it? Does he get to keep it himself? Does he maybe have to give it to tzedakah? Whatever.
How do we know the rosh means
head? Because that's the definition of it. Rosh means the head thing, the main thing, the actual kefil. Yeah. Tosfos points out a different point, which is that we know a person is only chayav kefil when edim come and say they stole. On the other hand, gezel ager only applies when a person is moiger. How does it fit? How does the braisa even think? It could be talking about kefil. And so Tosfos answers, let's say, for example, edim came and said and testified in Beis Din that he stole, and it's chayav kefil, and now he himself admits it. That's the point of the braisa, even though now he admitted it, and you would think maybe therefore that triggers the whole din of gezel ager. No.
He has to be
Moedah. In order to be chayav in Gezel Ager, yeah, it would have to be there. It was Nishba and then Moedah, yeah. Gufa. Okay, getting back to what we said before, Amar Rava, Gezel Ager Shech Zidu Balayla Moedah. So we said that if you return Gezel Ager at night, you're not Yotze, and Hechziru Chatzoyin Moedah, and also if you return it piecemeal, you're not Yotze. My time, Osham Kari Rahmanu, again, because we said, because the Torah calls it an Osham.
And an
Osham has to be whole, and it has to be by day. Again, they talk about when it comes to this matter of chatzoyim, what would happen, for example, you return the second half, let's say, and the first half is still intact. So fine, at the end, you return the whole thing. So they talk about different possibilities in that. But that's the question. Does it mean only that it doesn't work if you gave the first half and then the kohenim spent it, and now you're given the second half? Maybe then you're not yotze, but maybe if you gave it to the kohenim, or maybe so maybe that would work. Some of the Poroshim talk about that maybe what we mean l'chatzoyin is, let's say you gave half of it to one mishmar and half to another mishmar. That's when we're saying you wouldn't be yotze. Hashemtin, you gave all of it to one mishmar. What's the problem? In the end, you return the whole thing. They bring a thing from Revel.
Separate pieces,
let's say.
But to one mishmar.
They give a vote from Revel Brisker. The Gemara is going to talk about over here in a second, a concept that the Gezel Ager has to be worth at least one prutta for each member of the mishmar. So let's say, he says, l'chatzoyin over here would mean, let's say, for example, you stole an amount that there would be enough of it to have a prutta for each member of the mishmar, but now you returned only half of it where there isn't a prutta for each member of the mishmar, and now you're returning the other half later, then that creates a problem. What? Let's talk about that next case now. But Omar Rava, doesn't matter, it could be hundreds, could be thousands, I don't know, whatever. But Omar Rava, if this Gezel Ager does not have prutas worth for each member of the Mishmar, for each Kohen in the Mishmar, and he's not Yotze. My time, because it says the Asham which is returned, implying actually Hashava, l'chol Kohen v'Kohen. There has to be Hashava, there has to be something which is considered a returning, a pruta, less than a pruta, is not Mammon, for each Kohen. So what happens if it's not? Rashi says that in that case, he'll have to add more. So let's say, for example, there's 1,000 kohenim in the Mishmar. He stole 900 prutas. He's going to have to take 100 prutas out of his bank account and add it, and add it for the difference. The Meiri talks about that maybe not. Maybe what the Gemara means is that if the amount stolen is less than the number of kohenim in the Mishmar, then ain't like Takana, then there's no way to fix it up. Okay. Boy, Rava. In Bola Mishmeres Yehoyori, Yeshmele Mishmeres Yedaya, Mahu. What would happen? Suppose that this Gezel Ager, Suppose, let's say, that there's more kohenim in the Mishmar of Yehoyariv, the first Mishmar, than there are in Yedaya, the second Mishmar. So let's say, then, the Gezel Ager, this particular Gezel Ager, there's not enough in it to give a prutah to each member of Yehoyariv, but there would be enough to give to Yedaya. Mahu. So what would be the din? In other words, if he were to give it to, that's what the Gemara is going to ask. Wait, Hefi Dami, what's the scenario? Ilem Yavel Yedaya b'mishmeret Yedaya, are you talking about that he gave it to the Kohenim of Yedaya when it was their turn in the Bais Mikdash? So what's the problem? Ha'yisbei, fine, very good. There's enough of it for a prota for each Kohenim of Yedaya. What's the problem?
There isn't.
No, that's what we're saying there is. Let's say, in other words, again, he stole 900 protas. There's 1,000 Kohenim in Yehoyariv. There's 900 in Yedaya. If he gave it in the week of Yedaya to Yedaya, then there's 900 Kohenim. What's the problem? The answer is, lo'tzricha di'avili Yedaya b'mishmarta Yehoyariv. Right, but the case that Rava is asking about is, suppose he gave it to a Kohenim from Yedaya while it was still Yehoyariv's turn. So he gave it to them a week early. Now what's the deal? Mi aminin kimin delav mishmar jehu v'loy klomu. Do we say, well, look, it's not Yedaya's turn yet, therefore it doesn't count for anything. Oydoma, or maybe not, kimin delay chazile, since it's not suitable for Yehoyariv, because there's not enough money in there to be enough for your hayariv. Mi'ikra liyadayakoi. That to begin with, it's obviously meant to go to Yadaya. So in that case, all we have to do is the koyanim of Yahayariv there. So therefore, in other words, we can take it away from Yahayariv and give it to Yadaya. Take it. So we don't know. Boy, Rava. Koyanim maushi yachluku gezel ager keneged gezel ager. By the way, as far as this scenario over here, the Meiri points out, the question is only when you're talking about adjacent mishmaras. If you have, for example, that let's say the first three mishmaras each have 1,000 people, and only the fourth mishmar has the 900, and then you can't give it to the first mishmar and expect that it should work, that should wait 3 weeks until the fourth mishmar shows up. Yeah, we're talking about that. The whole question is adjacent mishmaras. Yeah. Which Tosfos points out, the point of the question is also, let's say, for example, if we were to say it would work, it would mean that it would mean that you can give the Oshem to the members of Yahayariv, and they can bring it right away. You gave the money to Yadaya, and it's not their turn yet. You gave the money to Yadaya, but that's the thing. Because if we say that it works, the reason why it works is because you gave the money. The money is in the hands of the Kohenim. It's in the wrong Mishmar, because it's going to eventually go to Yadaya, because they're the next Mishmar, and they're the ones who have enough people, a few enough people for it to work. But then at that point, you could be giving the Asham to Yahayariv and be Yotze. What?
It's considered unassimilated if it's part of their Mishmar.
If we say that loy chazav leYahayariv leYadaya koi, that Yahayariv is basically holding on to it on behalf of Yadaya, then fine, you've given the Asham, you've given the Asham, the Keren, the Chomesh, and now you bring the Korban. You should be good.
The first Mishmar, give it to the second. And
because not the second Mishmar's turn yet. That's the thing. If he were to wait and bring the Asham the second week, sure, of course it would work. But the question is, if he wants to bring the Tosfos, for says, the point of the question is, if he wants to bring the Asham the first week. Yeah. Okay. Oy, Rava. Koinim marish yachlaku gezel ager keneged gezel ager. Can the Koinim trade one gezel ager for another? So we know a general rule, Rashi says. The general rule is, for example, with a Kohen Mincha, each Kohen from the Mishmar, from the base of, rather, gets their portion of each Mincha that's brought that day, and they can't trade off. They can't say, for example, you take this guy's Mincha, I'll take the next guy's Mincha, as far as the Shiori Mincha, that is the leftover part that the Kohenim eat. You can't do that. Each one needs to get their portion from each one.
Shiorim has to be the same as the Mishmar. The initial mishmar, the korban was given.
No. In other words, if you have the 10 korbanos mincha are being brought today,
right.
So you can't have one kohen can't say to another, instead of each of us is going to get a tiny little piece of each mincha, you can get all of this one. I'll get all of the next one. The other kohen will get all of the third one. You can't do that. Each one has to get their portion of each mincha.
That it was assigned to him.
The mincha that's being brought that day, all the members of the base of that day divide that mincha. They can't trade off like that. So now, is the same true as far as Gezel Ager? Mi Amrin and Oshem Kari Rachmano, do we say that given that we established before the Torah calls the Gezel Ager, the money that's given to the Kohenim and Oshem, therefore Ma Oshem and Chokem Oshem Keneged Oshem, so just like when it comes to a real Korban Oshem, you can't trade off like that. Again, you can't say, I'll eat all of this one, you eat all of the next one. Therefore, Af Gezel and Chokem Gezel Ager, Keneged Gezel Ager, maybe the same thing as far as Gezel Ager. It's called Oshem, then the Torah is comparing it to an Oshem. Or maybe not. Maybe Gezel Ager is considered regular Mammon, and regular Mammon, you can trade off. I'm Mochel this one, and you're Mochel that one, whatever. Hoda Poshta, later on, Rava figured out the answer. Yes, Osham Kari Rachmana. We said the Torah calls it an Osham, therefore that's that. So each Kohen needs to get their own individual Prutta from the Gezel Ager. You can't say, for example, a Prutta is not worth it for me to bother with. You can get five Pruttas from this one, and I'll get five Pruttas from the next one. Let's say it doesn't work. So Tosfos Ramei Peretz points out the point of the question to begin with, and the point of the answer is originally you have a thought that fine, we know that before you give it to the Kohenim, it's not considered Mammon, it's considered like an Asham, it's one of the Matnas Kahuna, as the Gemara will say later. But maybe as soon as it's being given out, it's already considered Mammon. We know, for example, it is considered the Mammon of the Kohen. Once he receives it, he can be Mekadosh a woman with it, for example. It's complete Cholin once the Kohen receives it. Therefore, that was Rava's question, and his answer is until it actually reaches the hands of the Kohenim, it's still called Asham. Therefore, they can't trade off ahead of time. Okay. Rav Acha Bred Rava Masni Labehed. Rav Acha Bred Rava didn't learn it as a question and answer, but rather as a straight-out statement. Omar Rava, Kohenim Ein Chokin Gezel Ager, Kenen Gezel Ager, my time Asham Tayyar Rachmana. So without the question and answer, just according to Rav Acha Bred Rava, who is not necessarily the son of Rava. His father, Rava, may have been a different Rava, I don't know, but whatever, that Rava just said it straight out. Boy, Rava. Do we consider when the Kohenim get this Gezel Ager, are they considered like his heirs, given that he doesn't have any Jewish heirs, or are they considered like they received a gift from Hashem? Wait, L'may Naftamina, what's the Naftamina? Suppose that a person stole Chometz from a Ger, Pesach passed, that Chometz is also Bahana. If you're going to say that they're considered heirs, fine. So fine, whatever he bequeathed is what they're inheriting. The same way as if you inherit from your father and your father had chometz to avar alav pesach, fine, it's still part of the estate. Like we learned at the beginning of the parak. So then the same thing should apply over here. Then fine, in that case, and the person gives us chometz to avar alav pesach to the kohenim, it's also bahana, it's ka'afra da'ara, doesn't matter. Whatever he stole is what he's returning.
But
it doesn't matter. If it's Yerusha, it's Yerusha. The Amr Kabbalah Matanis,
you know. Even if you don't have to have an eye, it's
still Yerusha. Because, again, if there weren't this middleman, if there weren't this Gazlan, if let's say you're directly inheriting from somebody, if he has Chometz Shor Avol Pesach in his possession, fine, part of the estate is that Chometz Shor Avol Pesach. You can't do anything with it. It doesn't have the value, but it's still part of the estate. So fine, the same thing over here. I mean, the Kohenim get it. Effectively, it's hefker, but that's the point. Well, it was supposed to have been made hefker before Pesach. No, that's it. It's not hefker. It's worthless.
It's made hefker by Pesach.
Well, the Torah considers it as if it's in Yerusha. It's midrabanan. That's also about now. So therefore, again, so then that's it. So that's what they get. But if you say that it's considered the kohenim of receiving a gift, then the Torah says the gazlan is supposed to be giving them a matana, then he's not giving them anything worthwhile, because it's just dust. So Rava had that question. So Tosfos points out, why does Rava have the question? We just said before that Rava said that the gezel ager has to be worth a pruta for each member of the mishmar. Chometz, shavah alav pesach, not worth a prota for any, because not worth a prota for chometz. So what's the question?
Well, some chometz could be worth a prota.
No, it's chometz shavah alav pesach, also b'hana. It's not worth anything. Doesn't matter what it was worth. Right now, it's not. Now it's not. So Tosfos says that maybe in one or the other place, either before in the statement or here in the question, the girsa should be rabba, not rabba. So therefore, fine, rabba knew one thing and rabba asked the other thing, or vice versa. Maharsha talks about maybe you don't need that. You could distinguish between whether it's something that has value, then it has to have a prota. Mashenkin over here, again, you're saying Harei Shalach HaFanecha, it's the actual original object that was stolen, it's being returned, then maybe. Okay. Rav Zeira Boi Hachi. Rav Zeira asks the question in a different way. Fine. Let's say that the Kohenim are supposed to be receiving it as a matana. And not as Yerusha. Well, then there's no question. Because after all, the Torah does say you have to give it to them as a matana, and in this case, there's no question. It's not a matana. Ela, because it's worthless. Matana has to have a value.
Also, to be a puta.
Yeah. So therefore. Rather, the question is, the question we can ask is as follows. Suppose that the Kohen received 10 animals as Gezel Ager. So again, a person stole 8 animals from a Ger, Nishba, Hoda, etc. He's paying Keren v'chomesh, so therefore he's giving 10 animals to a Kohen.
Well, you're right.
It would have to be rather that the guy stole a couple of thousand animals, whatever. And this particular coin, one particular coin, wound up getting 10 animals out of it. Again, they each divide it up equally. So, you know, there's 1,000 animals. Let's say there's 100 koinim in the Mishmar. So fine, each one winds up getting 10 animals. The question is, mechai v'lach grushim inayu ma'aser eloi. Here the question can be, do you have to give ma'aser from it or not? And the way to look at it is Yoshin Habu. Do we consider them Yoshim? Where we learn in Masechta Bechoros that if Yoshim buy 10 animals out of the estate, so before they divided the estate, they're still managing joint, then they have to give. Because the vote is like this: you don't have to give Meister from animals that you bought. The Gemara explains in Bechoros because
from what you inherited.
But you have to give from what you inherited, right? Because the difference is that the difference the Gemara explains over there that you don't give from what you bought because Bechor Behema is similar in that regard to Bechor Adam. Just like Bechor Adam, by definition, it was born, the Bechor was born to you. It's not that you bought him. The same way with Ma'aseh Behema, or Bechor Behema, rather, it has to be, Ma'aseh Behema, rather, we're talking about, that it has to be that you didn't buy them.
But if you,
what? Shut from also not, right. But if they're Yoshim, so Konob, which fits the bias, if they bought it out of the estate, meaning, in other words, they didn't yet divide up the estate, they're not considered Shutfim in that case. It's effectively equivalent as if their father was still alive and he bought these animals. They were just sort of acting as his agent. Therefore, Chayovim. Or maybe these Koyanim are considered like they're receiving a Matana, or Tanan, and we learn in the Mishnah, that if you buy animals or you've given them as a present, you're potter from Ma'aseh Behema. Given to him as a present. So therefore, so again, if the Koyanim are Yoshim, then this Koyanim received 10 animals from Gezel Ager will be 5 in Ma'aseh Behema among those 10 animals. If not, then not. If it's Matana, then not. Mai, so what's the din? Toshma. The Braita says, Estrim Ba'av Matnas Kahuna Nitnu La'Aaron Levanov. There are 24 gifts to the Kohenim that are given to Aaron and his children. V'cholim Nitnu V'klal Prat V'klal. They're all given, there's a Klal Prat V'klal in Parashas Korach when it describes them. It starts out with a Klal, V'anihi Nenasat Al-Kharos Mishmeres Tzur Moisei, that I'm giving you L'chol Kodship in Israel. Everything that the Jewish people take off as a special thing, as a special gift, is given to you. Then there's the Prat that lists them all individually, Uklal, and then it finishes off Kol Tzur Moisei Kodship Mashiach Yorim Ubnei Yisrael L'Hashem. Rashi points out on the pasuk over there that it's an expression of love for it. That we see how important it is that it's marked like that with a klal throughout the klal. Ubris melach, and with a covenant of salt. Salt never spoils. It's a symbol of it represents a bris that'll never go away. Therefore, kolam akaima and kilam akaima klal throughout the klal of bris melach. Therefore, anybody who observes these and gives these matonis to the kohenim is as if he kept the whole Torah, which the whole Torah is designed to be darshan with klal throughout the klal. And the whole Torah is given with a bris melach, or all the korbanos rather, Rashi says, is bris melach. Kol over aleim, and anybody who violates them, kila over orak kala prata kala bris melach. The Elohim, and the 24 are as follows: Eser b'mikdash, 10 that can only be eaten in the mikdash; the dalad b'yerushalayim, 4 that can be eaten in anywhere in Yerushalayim; the eser b'gvulim, and 10 that can be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, or enjoyed anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Esther of a mikdash is as follows: Chatas behema, v'chatas ba'oif, v'oshem vade, v'oshem tolui, v'zivchei shamit zibur. All these are the portions that the kohenim eat respectively of them. V'zivchei shamit zibur, the shlomim that are brought for the zibur on shavuos together with the shtei alechem. V'loig shemen shamit soda, the extra log of oil that a soda brings, where part of it is put on his ear and thumb and toe, and some of it on his head, and the rest of the kohenim can eat. When a matzora is bringing his korban. Or moiser omer, the leftover of the omer after they take out the koymet and burn it on the mizbeach. Or shtei alechem, the shtei alechem that I brought on Shavuos, the lechem upon him. Or shiorim anachos, and the rest of a regular korban mincha. The regular korban mincha, we take out the koymet and burn it on the mizbeach. The koyim eat the rest. That's the 10 that can only be eaten in the azara. The arav yishalayim are habachora, a bchor behema, habikurim. Was taken off from the Todah or from the ram of the shlomim of a nazir, the chaz of a shoik, and then the chaz of a shoik, and in the case of the ram of a nazir, also the front leg, and also some of the bread that goes with it. The odus kodshim and the skins of kodshim. Now, so Rashi asks, what do you mean? In what sense are the skins of kodshim something in Yerushalayim? Or you can use them everywhere. So Rashi explains because they're only divided out in Yerushalayim. They can't be considered among the ones only in the Bis Mikdash, Rashi says, because the fact is, you can take them out of the Bis Mikdash. It's not like a mincha or something that'll become posel, but they're given out there in the Bis Mikdash. But in principle, they could be used anywhere. In principle, they could be used anywhere in the world. There are mafarshim who say that the vote is that what the Gemara is implying is that actually, even though theoretically you could take them anywhere, lemaisa, because of the kedusha of them, they would use them only in Yerushalayim, or they'd sell them to local leather dealers or whatever in Yerushalayim, and then take the money elsewhere if they lived elsewhere in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, it's considered to be Yerushalayim. V'asod ha'begvul, then 10 that are anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, and some of them even in Chutz La'aretz, Midrabanan or Midraraisa, as the case may be. Trumo, Trumas Maisa, V'chala, V'reishas Hageiz, the first of the shearing of the sheep. V'amatonos, the Zeroi L'chayayim V'keva. Upidyan Aben, Upidyan Petach Hamor, when you redeem a Petach Hamor for a sheep, Usdei Achuza, we learned yesterday that a person gives away his field to Hektish, and then the Yovel time gets taken away, it goes out from Hektish and is given out to the Koyanim, Usdei Charomim, a person declares his field Cherem, then it goes to the Koyan, the Gezel Ager, and the Gezel Ager that we're talking about over here. Which, Tosfos asks the question, why is it considered asar b'gvulin? If we said before that it's like an osham, it can't be done at night, it can't be done by halves, shouldn't it be just like an osham, it can only be done in Yerushalayim? So the Tosfos Chaim gives an interesting answer. He says, because, for example, let's say it's money. You can't put chulin money into the azara, into the Beis Mikdash. Let's say he stole a horse. You can't put horses into the Beis Mikdash. Necessarily, therefore, it has to be. To that extent, it's not like an osham, literally, that you bring it into the Beis Mikdash. Therefore, it's b'gvulin, and Rashi says, therefore, you can give it. The osham, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. But the actual gezel ager, you can give to Kohenim anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, as long as they're Mishmar Zerah. Okay, the Kakari Mias Matana. The bottom line is we see that Gezel Ager is called a Matana. Shmamina Makabla Matana Sabu. Therefore, we see from that receiving Gezel Ager is considered a Matana. Shmamina, therefore, that proves it. And therefore, therefore, as far as the Chometz thing, we said it's definitely a Matana, no question about it, Rabbi Avira said. But even as far as the matter of Maitre Behema, yes, since you received it as a Matana, you would be, it comes out, you would be, it comes out, you would be Potter from Maitre Behema.